Well, we've come to the end of our series, The Holy Spirit, the Comforter has come. And I hope that you've learned a lot about the Holy Spirit, how to engage with the Holy Spirit, about the gifts of the Spirit in this series. I know for me, in my personal study, this has been huge to understand the Holy Spirit. And we're going to end today, we want to end this series by talking about the role of the Holy Spirit in prayer. And I want to talk specifically about what it means to pray in the Spirit and talk about the gift of tongues, which is a little less known. But both of them, I think we need to understand what the Bible says about each of these things. So I want to jump right into it today. I want to begin by talking about what it means to pray in the Spirit. You hear pastors say that, you know, you hear like that's a thing we should do. And I think all Christians would say prayer is a good thing. We should pray in the Spirit. But if we're honest, I mean, we don't always know what to pray for. We don't know how to pray. We don't always have the energy to pray. In fact, prayer can, for a lot of us, just seem like another thing to add to the should-do list. In fact, there's a lot of shoulds and a lot of guilt, not a lot of victory in our prayer lives. And it can be discouraging. And the good thing is God knows that we struggle to pray. So he gave us the Holy Spirit to help. That's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the gifts that God has given to us. And one of the most important texts on prayer in the whole Bible is found in Romans 8. And I love it because it recognizes our weakness and vulnerability in prayer, but it also brings some promises and hope. So if you have your Bibles, let's jump right into the scriptures. Romans 8, we're going to look at verse 26 and 27. Here's what it says. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. That's an incredible promise. So God, it admits right away, he knows we're going to struggle with prayer, at least in some way. And that's okay because he sends the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. And so in this verse, it explains why we struggle to pray. And it says we don't know what we ought to pray for. It's just Paul himself says that. And so the beginning of a powerful prayer life, to pray in the Spirit, always has to begin with a humble recognition that we need help and that we don't know how to pray effectively. And the reason we don't know how to pray effectively is because we can't see the future and we really don't know what's good for us, if we're honest. And so I want to look at both of these reasons for a moment. The first reason we need help in prayer is that we can't see the future. I've never met anybody who can. I'm sure none of you can. You know, we can't see a year or an hour or even a day ahead of time. And yet we often pray for things that we want to see happen that might actually hurt us, or we might pray to avoid things we assume that might be harmful that actually are to our benefit. You could probably think of your own examples. Let me give you one from me. When I was dating my wife, we went through a really difficult season, and she broke up with me. I mean, I kind of could see this coming, and I just started to pray, Lord, please don't, I want to, let's please stay together. I fervently prayed because I invested 2 years into our relationship, and I didn't want to see it end. I just felt like she's the one I want to marry. I love her, and I don't want to lose this relationship. And when she broke up with me, I was devastated, and I just thought, God, I prayed for this. Why didn't you answer this prayer? And in my suffering, in my pain, I had to turn to God and meet him in that. And God, that was one of the richest seasons of spiritual growth in my life, and it was the same for my wife. You know, she missed me. She was sad that we broke up. And when we had that space just to be apart and connect with God, God did something in our lives that was incredible. Now, eventually we got back together, we got married, it's been 11 great years, but when I look back on that, I prayed so fervently that God would not let us break up, but I would never take that breakup away because it's one of those times where God had just connected with me and my wife in ways that only he could. The Holy Spirit in that case interceded on our behalf, and I'm so grateful that he did. Okay, so now the second reason that we need help in prayer is that we don't know what's best for us or other people, if we're honest. We really don't. I didn't in that situation, and God did what was right for me. And so in the same way, in a lot of ways, we're like children who want something that's bound to hurt us, right? God's often like in the role of a parent who has to deny the request of his children who don't really understand or care what's really in their best interest. So, I mean, as a parent to little kids, I understand this at some level. My kids ask me for things constantly, and I have to say no to the request because they're always eating junk food. That's what they would want. So if I left it just to my kids alone, they'd eat a steady diet of candy, potato chips, and snack bars, right? Because they don't know any better. That's just, they eat what tastes good. And so as a parent, I know what's better for them. I know what's better than they do, and it's my job to guide them. That's what a parent does. And like children, we really don't know what's ultimately good for us. And that makes it difficult to know what to pray for. And so we struggle to pray because we don't know the future and we don't know what's good for us. But the good news is that the Holy Spirit does, right? We studied in the first week, the Holy Spirit has all the attributes of God, lives within us. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. That means the Holy Spirit knows everything, is everywhere, and is all powerful. And the Holy Spirit knows the future and he knows what's best for us. And so when we pray, we invite the Holy Spirit into every situation in our life, any situation. And the Holy Spirit loves it when we do that because then the Holy Spirit can help us. And the Bible says in what we just read that Holy Spirit intercedes for God's people according to the will of God. And so when the Holy Spirit gets involved in our prayers and in our life, it comes with this incredible promise. And it comes right after what's read in the Bible in Romans. And it says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." So that means that even though we can't see the future and we don't know what's good for us, the Holy Spirit takes our prayers to God and God searches our heart and our minds and he works all of it for our good. He sorts it out and he makes it all work for our good despite what we might have asked for or desire. And so the prayer invites the Holy Spirit into every aspect of our lives. This is why the Bible instructs us. This is what Paul says. He says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests." And so praying in the Spirit brings the Holy Spirit into everything. So we should bring everything to God in the Spirit. This is such an incredible invitation and promise that's given to us in it. And so I invite everybody to always be thinking, pray in the Spirit. Now that being said, who can pray in the Spirit? How does this work? You could say do it, but how does this work and how do you pray in the Spirit? Well, can anyone pray in the Spirit? The answer is no. The only people who can pray in the Spirit, according to what we just read, Romans 8:27, are God's people. And so to pray in the Spirit, you need to be part of God's family. You need to be a follower of Jesus. And the only way to become part of God's family is to be united with Christ. So let's look at what it says in Galatians chapter 4, 4 through 7. It says this, "But in the fullness of time, when it had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and as daughters. And because you are sons, because you're daughters, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" And so we receive the Holy Spirit when we're redeemed by Jesus and brought into his family. And so we receive the Holy Spirit because we're united with the Son at conversion. So we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit when we begin to follow Jesus and we're converted. And so anybody who calls Jesus Lord has been given the Holy Spirit and can pray in the Spirit, can have all the power and all the promises that come with it, including that God makes all things work for the good of those who love him. Let me just say this to you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, if you've never accepted Jesus and you're hearing about these promises and this power in prayer, I just want to encourage you, stop right now and say, "Lord, I need you. I need you in my life." Pray out. Say, I've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I need Jesus Christ to forgive me, forgive my sins, and just ask him. Say, "Father, come into my life." And I promise you, if you accept Jesus, you begin to follow him, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you can pray in the Spirit. If you've never done that and you want to, call one of us at church and ask us to pray with you. We'll pray this with you. We'll pray for you to receive Jesus. We'll help you come to that place so that you can pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the great gifts of the Holy Spirit. And just imagine how much more powerful your prayer life can be if you pray in the Spirit. Right, that being said, there are some ways of praying in the Spirit that not all Christians have. So I want to talk for a moment about the gift of tongues and praying in the Spirit. And so all Christians receive the Holy Spirit at conversion. So we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit there. But not all Christians receive the gift of tongues when they receive the Holy Spirit at conversion. So I hope that makes sense. But the gift of tongues, every gift of the Spirit, that's something that you can ask from and receive from God once you are following after Jesus. So let me show you. Let me show a little bit about this in the Bible. The primary text in the Bible on tongues, at least this spiritual gift, is in 1 Corinthians 14. And in this, Paul's talking to the Corinthian church. He talks about two different types of tongues. There's speaking in tongues and praying in tongues. Both are spiritual gifts, but they serve a very different purpose. So let's start with the gift of speaking in tongues. So this is what this gift of speaking in tongues is. And I'll just give you a kind of a long definition of the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues is a message from God to others in a language unknown to the person through whom the message comes. Right? So let me explain what that means. It's a way that God speaks directly to a church body with a very specific word. I know it sounds crazy, just stick with me here a little bit. The purpose of this gift is to build up the church, for God to actually speak and encourage and edify and build up the church. And the way it works is that the Holy Spirit prompts somebody in the body to speak. And when they speak, a different language comes out of their mouth. And most don't, almost maybe nobody, but maybe one person understands what's being said. The speaker doesn't even understand. And so at the same time, the Holy Spirit works in another person in the church to hear and interpret the message. Right? This is called the gift of interpretation. Right? Ben talked about both of these last week. Now, as you can imagine, these gifts can be confusing and easily misunderstood. So what Paul's doing in most of 1 Corinthians 14 is to help the church know how to properly worship with speaking and praying and interpreting tongues and prophecy and all of it. So that's what he's doing. So here's what he writes about speaking in tongues. He says, everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. And so you really do hear speaking and praying in tongues mentioned in this one. And what Paul does, he gives some very clear instruction about how this should work, speaking at least. He says, a bunch of people shouldn't all just speak in tongues at once. That'd be chaotic. And so even in English, when a bunch of people talk, it's hard to understand. I mean, I watched the presidential debates the other day. I could hardly understand what was happening there. I mean, they're just talking over each other, and that's just two people. The moderator didn't help a whole lot. I mean, that was a chaotic situation. So instead, if people are going to speak in tongues, one person should speak at a time, not too many in a row, and they should speak a word in tongues and then wait for the interpretation. And so when it's done this way, the person who interprets the tongue can then share it with the church and hear what God is saying. That's how it works. Now, I've seen this done well. I've seen it done poorly. I've been in church services where there's just a bunch of people all at once speaking loudly in tongues, and it just sounds like a bunch of crazy noise. It was awkward, it's strange, and I don't know what purpose that serves. But I've also seen it practiced correctly and done really, really well and bless a body of people. So when I was in my 20s, I was part of this school, Youth with a Mission. I've mentioned it before. But as part of the school, we would worship 90 minutes a day, three times a week. It was awesome. There's a high worship culture. And the worship experience at YWAM, where I was very orderly. So it was done in a very orderly manner. The Spirit was flowing all the time inside of this. It was very exciting. So what happened is that at the back of the room, there was a mic and there was a light. And so the Holy Spirit kind of put something on your heart during worship. You could go to the back of the room, tap on the light, and stand in front of that mic. And eventually, in between songs, the worship leader would call on you. And oftentimes, somebody would just share a thought, pray something, but often somebody would speak in tongues. And when I first heard this, I was like, what is happening? This is a little weird. But inevitably, the worship leader, when they would be finished, would say, does anybody have an interpretation? And then we would wait, and eventually somebody would come and say, this is how I heard that. And that word was often for, you know, sometimes for a specific individual, but mostly it was for encouraging all of us. We get a word of encouragement for all of us who are training and planning to go into the mission field. Right? And that was a totally normal part of worship there, and it was a great part of it. So that's what speaking in tongues is and how it works. It's given to strengthen the church and encourage us. Now, the gift of praying in tongues is a little different. And so praying in tongues is a spiritual gift like speaking in tongues, but instead of being given to build up the church, it's given to strengthen you personally, me personally, when I use it. So it's a private prayer language given by the Holy Spirit, and it's incredible. Okay, the biblical basis for this is 1 Corinthians 14:2. And this is what Paul says, again, in that big section about how to use these gifts. He says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. And so praying in tongues is a private connection in the spiritual realm between you and God. There's no need for interpretation because you're not sharing with others. If anybody hears you go, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to God. And so that's the way most Christians use this gift. It's in private, quiet moments of prayer just with God. It's a form of prayer that it transcends human language, which is helpful. I mean, because language is so limiting to us. Sometimes we just don't know what to pray or express what we feel. That's what we learned in Romans 8. And the Holy Spirit comes to help us in that. This is especially true in our relationship with God. This is where the gift of tongues can be such a huge help because it enables us to express to God what we feel in our spirit without going through the process of using our native language, for most of us, English, right? And believe it or not, and it's going to sound pretty wild, but there's many pastors on our staff and people in our body that have received and use regularly personal prayer language or the gift of praying in tongues, including me. This doesn't mean that we're better Christians or more spiritual than other people. It just means that we asked for this gift and God gave it to us. Now, I've had the same personal prayer language, the same thing for 20 years. And when I first heard about it, somebody said, you can have this. I remember hearing, I go, that's not for me. You know, I didn't understand what it was about. I heard people use it. I heard people pray with it. I thought it was weird. It actually made Christianity seem a little harder for me to engage with as a young Christian. I thought, that's a strange thing. You might be thinking that too, okay? But all that changed when somebody taught me about what this prayer language was about. And so it happened about midway through the school, back in 99, at YWAM. They brought in this very godly teacher. And I think he was a Pentecostal preacher. But he taught on tongues. And he just said, I invite you to pray for it. Ask God for it. God's generous. He wants to give to you. Just ask to receive a personal prayer language. He said, God can give this to you. He can give you the gift of tongues. It doesn't need to be a special day. It doesn't need to be some special occasion. You just need to ask. It's not that difficult. It's not very mysterious. And so I'm skeptical. I thought, all right, fine, I'll ask. Didn't think it would work. Didn't think anything would happen. So he had to stand up in a room full of, there were maybe 30 of us in there. He just said, pray. And he prayed over us. And he said, after this prayer that he prayed, he said, try praying. Just try praying in a different language. And I thought, this is going to be so embarrassing. This is never going to work. And so I tried. And to my surprise, not kidding you, a foreign language comes out of my mouth, free-flowing like I'm in some conversation. Now, I was a little choppy at first, but it flowed right out of me. And I've had the same personal prayer language for over 20 years, and it's been a foundational part of my personal prayer life ever since. Okay, it's been incredible. Now, what's the purpose of it? Okay, I tell you it's great for me, but what's the purpose of a personal prayer language? Well, the primary purpose of praying in tongues is to strengthen us spiritually. That's what it says. That's what Paul says. He says, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. And so edify means build up or strengthen or improve. So in other words, when you pray in tongues, you strengthen yourself spiritually. In the very next verse, Paul says he wants every one of us to speak in tongues, all right? So that means Paul wants us to pray in tongues so that we can all be edified or strengthened. Again, in Romans, Paul writes, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. So praying in tongues is how the Holy Spirit strengthens us spiritually. Another purpose of praying in tongues is to assist us in prayer, in worship. I don't know, have you ever written a thank you card and just ran out of meaningful things to say after like three sentences? I mean, I have. Right? Meaningful thank you notes are hard to write. Right? You can only say, oh, thank you, I appreciate you, this is great. So much before you just kind of run out of things to say. I don't know, maybe you're better writers than I am, but it's hard to do that. And when I praise God, sometimes I feel the same way. Right? I can praise God and pray pretty quickly. And that whole experience is not always inspiring. I don't always know what to say. That's often why we bring music into it, because music helps us feel things differently and express the way we feel differently towards God. In fact, so for me, when I express praise to God, like I love to sing. I love to sing out loud. I like to sing loudly. But when I'm alone in prayer, honestly, singing feels awkward. I don't have a very good voice. And it annoys my family if I do it at home. I'll try, but they'll say, Daddy, quiet. And so instead of singing when I'm alone or using my words, what I'll do often is I'll think of what I want to say. And I'll just pray in tongues. I'll lift my hands and I'll just express worship to God in words that I just can't express. And I sense in my spirit that God is being glorified through speaking and praying in tongues that way. It's been incredible. Another purpose of tongues, you know, one last one is to assist us in praying for others. I mean, you know, it can be difficult to pray for other people, especially if you haven't seen or talked to them in a while. There's a lot of people in my family and friends that I have that I've kind of committed to praying for regularly. And sometimes I have no idea what to pray. I don't know what to. I start thinking about them. God puts them on my heart and I go, I don't know, Lord, just bless them, right? Just bless them. And then after that, my mind goes blank and I just don't know what to pray. And so when this happens, what I do is I hold this person in my mind and I pray for them in tongues. And sometimes I get a word for them in English, but oftentimes I just trust that whatever my spirit is communicating to God, that the Holy Spirit's taking that with the groans and that he talks about in Romans, and just God's taking it and working all things for the good of those I pray for. I just trust that he's doing that. The gift of praying in tongues has been incredible. And the reason I'm telling you all about it is I want you to receive it. I actually want you to have it. So praying in tongues is part of praying in the Spirit. It's a gift that God gives us. It helps us in our weakness. And again, Paul says, I want all of you to speak in tongues. And for that reason, I want all of you to speak in tongues. I agree with Paul on that. So this desire of Paul suggests that because he wants everybody to, it suggests that everybody can do it. It's not some super special class of Christians. I received the gift of tongues when I was a baby Christian. And I was just able to pray that way. And so there's no reason that anybody who wants the gift of praying in tongues shouldn't receive it. If you want it, you should be able to receive it. And so I want you to know this too. There's nothing wrong with wanting and receiving any of the gifts of the Spirit. We should have a desire for that. We should desire to receive these gifts. In fact, that's the way Paul starts out this whole part in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So how do we receive them? I want you to desire them. I want you to want to receive them. So how do we receive the gift of tongues or any other spiritual gift that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians? And Ben taught on these last week. There's 9 of them that he talked about. Well, the answer is pretty simple. We ask God and we receive him by faith. So if you love Jesus, you're a child of God. And your Father wants to be generous with you. He wants to be generous with me. That's just the way he is. He's so generous and wealthy and powerful, and he wants to bless us. So listen to what Jesus teaches the disciples about prayer and the reception of the Holy Spirit. So he pulls the guys together and he says, hey, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if Jesus teaches us to pray this way, to ask for the Holy Spirit, to ask him, why don't we ask God for these blessings in the Spirit? God wants to be gracious with us. He says he'll give us the Holy Spirit when we ask. So why don't we do more asking? That's what I wonder sometimes. Sometimes I think that we live and act and think like the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son, at least in our relationship with God. If you don't know this story, this is such a powerful parable where this youngest son asks for his inheritance from his father. He goes and he blows it on wild living, and then he comes to his senses and he goes to the father just to ask for mercy. And the father sees him coming, and he just runs up and he throws his arms around him and gives him a ring and throws a huge party. He welcomes him back into the family, just lavishly loves on the son. And the older brother is furious with the father for being so generous with somebody who he thinks is unworthy of love. And he makes his feelings known. So there's this party. As this party's going on, the older brother refuses to come in. He won't even enter. And the father doesn't understand why, so he goes to the older brother, and he just says, what's wrong? And he says, please, come join the party. And the older brother unleashes his anger. He says to the father, all these years I've been slaving for you, and I've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him? So he's angry. He doesn't think the father's been fair to him. How does the father respond? He says to the son, you were always with me, and everything I have is yours. He calls him. He says, son, my son, you've always been with me, and everything I have is yours. He said you had access to every blessing already. All you had to do was ask for it. You didn't need to work for it. You didn't need to prove anything. You are my son. Right, it was yours already. It's like he was saying, why have you squandered all these years living like some servant in my house when you're my precious son? Why did you live that way? Your brother came home, and he asked me for forgiveness, and look how I responded. If you would have asked, I would have been so generous with you. Why didn't you just ask me? This is how I see so many Christians living, with this mindset of the older brother. And I don't want us to live that way anymore. We're children of God. We're heirs in the kingdom of God. And God wants to be generous with us. Right? But we need to ask him for more of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. He gave that to us. We will never understand the goodness of this gift. And so are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, God himself, wants to be so much more involved with our lives right now. But the Holy Spirit never forces his blessing on us. Just like the Father didn't force his blessings of sonship on the oldest son. No, to receive God's blessing as his children, we need to start asking and receiving in faith. That's how we do it. So we're going to end today. We're going to end with some worship together. That's why we're doing it at the end. And as we do, I want to encourage you to just approach the Father who loves you, who cares for you, who wants to bless you. And I want you to ask for more of the Holy Spirit today. Dare to ask God. He's so generous to give you the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like prophecy and wisdom and knowledge, so that you can help build up the church. And ask him to give you the gift of praying in tongues. Maybe you want to be so bold and just ask for that today so that you can better pray in the Spirit and be strengthened in the Spirit. God wants to give these gifts to you. So let's be bold today as we end this series and ask God for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to fill us, to enliven us in the Holy Spirit so that we can go out into this world, live for Him, build up the church, reach people for Christ, and just live in the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray and join and spend some time in worship. Heavenly Father, You love us so much. You're our Father who loves us, and You want to give good gifts to us. And if we ask, You say You'll give us the Holy Spirit. And so as we pray, as we worship, and as we ask, will You answer for us? Will you answer our prayers by giving us more of the Holy Spirit, filling us up, enlivening us with the Holy Spirit, actually pouring out Your gifts so that we see them active and alive in our church? So as we worship, we praise You, Father, but we also ask for more of the Spirit. Ask for the gifts to be flowing in our life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask.